Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Mum and Mama, brought to you as always by the wonderful Golding Accountancy, wearegolding.com, and also the amazing Buddy Peace, who is the best, nicest person in the whole wide world. He produces podcasts, and this week he's done this one for me because about 5 months ago I was doing a Zoom gym class and I managed to knock my glass of water over. And some of it went onto my computer. And even though it was fine, like I dried it out for a couple of days and left it off and then I turned it on and it was fine, it's been corroding. So on Friday, it wouldn't turn on and I took it into the Apple store and they had to keep it in to have a look at it. And they phoned me the next day and basically told me that it had been corroding and it was going to cost nearly £800 to fix. So, luckily, I've got contents insurance and it's being sorted out and I'm basically just going to get a new computer. But at the moment, I don't really have the tools to be able to do the podcast. I've kind of can do it a bit, but not to the extent that I would normally would. So Buddy, because he's the nicest guy in the world, he's done it for me. So thank you, Buddy. Love you. And it... I was going to tell him that it was... I was talking to two girls that used to work in a sex shop and we talk about porn and all that stuff, but I thought that'd be a nice surprise for him when he was editing it. But that's what this week's episode is. I was joined by the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful girls from the Two Girls One Shop podcast. Nina and Charlie, their names are not just the two girls, they're called Nina and Charlie. And Stu Whiffin does a podcast with them because Stu Whiffin does every podcast. And I listened to a couple and I was just absolutely crying. And I thought, I've got to get them on to talk to me. And they did come on and it was, well, you'll hear it. But season 3 of their podcast is coming out now. So that's why I'm putting this out. I know last week I said I was going to do Gail Porter, but I'm not doing Gail Porter. I'm doing this one because their podcast is coming out now. Gail Porter will come out next week. So I hope you enjoy it. There are some very frank discussions about sex, so if your kids are around, maybe warn them. So yes, I hope you enjoy it and I'll see you in a bit.
Work.
He's got his fingers in so many holes.
Well, today I'm really excited because I'm joined by the wonderful Charlie and Nina from the Two Girls One Shot podcast.
Hi!
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming on. So I want to ask you everything because I don't know anything in general. So you do this podcast with Stu Whiffin, don't you? How did he come across you?
This is a funny story.
He's a regular customer in your shop.
Yeah, main character. Yeah.
So you work in a sex shop, or you worked in a sex shop. Is it still going?
It isn't now. It's it closed because of COVID. So right. It's permanently shut now.
Oh, really?
But we did have a couple of last hurrahs after the first lockdown of absolute characters coming in the shop. So they... So we can get another couple of seasons out of it now. Thank God. But yeah, no, sadly, it's gone.
Where was the shop?
Southend.
In Southend, right.
Yeah.
So
long had she been coming in there then for you to build
a relationship? Well, we actually met Stu at Pink Toothbrush.
Oh, okay.
As much as I would love to say that Stu was like a repeat offender, we met him in different circumstances where we were being the harassers and not him.
So how did the idea of the podcast come around?
Well, Stu wants to make a podcast of everyone. Yeah. He wants to make a podcast about bread with some guy he met here in Asda.
I think that's starting next week. So you've got talking to him obviously, and I bet he was very interested in what you do. So then I guess he was like, you should do a podcast.
Yeah, he did say that it would make a really, really good podcast, and he was on at us for quite a while before we actually sat down and made it. It was like a couple of years, wasn't it, before we were like, all right then, fine, we'll do it. Yeah.
Because we'd never listened to a podcast ever. And even when we had started recording for the first season, we had still never listened to a podcast. So we didn't know what he was going on about. We were like, this guy has got some like little thing going on where it records people talking about stuff. We ummed and ahed, and literally up until the very last minute we were gonna not do it. And then we thought, do you know what, let's do it, we've got nothing else going on.
So I was absolutely terrified. I'm like, oh my god, I'm not gonna be able to speak in front of like people on
did
a microphone.
Did you do it in person when you started?
Yeah.
Or is it always be
We actually recorded it at the Brush during the day.
Okay.
On just like a few like recording equipments, and then this COVID thing all happened.
Yeah.
And this actually is a lot more of a convenient solution to it anyway, weirdly. We're like forced into this, and it's actually so much easier to just do it on Zoom anyway.
Yeah. And it's more like, because when we started this podcast, it literally, the first episode came out, I think, the second weekend of the lockdown. But it's actually let us talk to people all over the world. Well, I say all over the world. There's been a couple in America. <It's not that. laughs> But like, you wouldn't have thought, previous to that, I wouldn't have thought about talking to people that weren't accessible to get to. Do you know what I mean? Because you do it in person, don't you?
Yeah.
But actually, this has opened up a whole world of, it's just as long as you've got good internet. So it is actually quite a good thing. You know,
we don't have great internet, and so Stu like gets on at us all the time. He's like, and like, we want slow speed, Stu. Like, this isn't our fault.
Yeah, can you not just switch it off and switch it back on again?
Yeah,
fuck's sake, Stu. What do you think we've done?
Yeah, that's our first port of call, Stu.
So how do you know each other? Did you meet working in the shop, or did you know, was it your shop, or did you work there for someone else?
We worked there for someone else, and we met there originally, but I was on maternity leave and I came back and Nina was employed, and everyone that I worked with was like, oh my god, yeah, we've got Nina now, she's really great, she's really lovely, you'll really love her. And I'm like, fucking don't think so, mate. Don't tell me who I'm fucking like. So I walked in there immediately, like, oh, you're fucking Nina, are you? Heard some things about you. We didn't like each other at all.
Yeah, it's really weird. And then at the time, I was caring for my nan, who's like just getting older and iller. And then when she died, I found myself in a situation where I wasn't able to stay in her home because it had to be sold. I didn't have any other family around the area. I didn't have any friends because I'd put all of my time into caring for my nan.
Yeah.
And so I had nowhere else to go. I literally had I had nowhere to live at all.
Yeah.
No prospects, no nothing. And someone had said to Charlie, oh, God, isn't it bad, like, Nina's now homeless. And she took it upon herself, taking a waif and stray, didn't you?
Oh, that's nasty.
I know, I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, you can stay with me then. can't have you out of the street. Like, I did it for gritted teeth. Like, I didn't want it at all. But you just can't see people out of the street, even if you don't know.
Yeah.
So I was like,
it's one of those situations where you hope that they're going to say no.
Yeah. I was like, hopefully someone else will offer, but you know, if that's as a last resort, you can stay with me. Worked out for the best in the end.
Oh, yeah. So how long did you live together? Could you still live together? You're just in different rooms.
Yeah, we live in each wing of the mansion that we own. We don't live together anymore, but during the first lockdown, because we both have children. It was actually easier to team up so that we could like go shopping because we don't have anyone else to.
Yeah. Are you single? Shop for us. Parents.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it was just, it made sense that I would go and stay back there. And I mean, thank God, because we thought it was going to be like a 5 minute thing, the whole pandemic. I was going, don't worry about it, blow over in a week. But yeah, and then when it got to the point where they weren't letting you in supermarkets with children and things like and you couldn't book a delivery slot or anything like that. So we were both in the same situation, and then we combined our super mother powers and were able to like smash it.
Looks, I used to get off people when I was taking my two with me, but it's like I can't leave my home. You never want to take them shopping, do you?
No.
But it's like you might be queuing outside to get in for an hour, then you know, it's like you've just got no idea how long you're going to be gone for, do you? So, that's a good idea. Oh, and thank God you did that. So, how long have you been, have you always been single parents, or how old are your children?
My daughter's
300.
Okay. Yeah, she's 3, and I separated from her dad. Oh God, she just turned 2 at the time. She'll be 4 this year. So,
it was 2019. So, coming up 2 years ago.
So it was like quite a new thing, like a breakup and single parenting, and then the pandemic, and it was just like, oh my God.
But are you glad that you weren't still together during the pandemic?
We wouldn't have survived it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have survived it. Well, he would not have survived. Yeah, for his own well-being, it was best that it happened like that. Yeah. I think it's like that for a lot of people, though. I think, you know, if you can't weather those things, you are not going to weather the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we wouldn't have survived it at all.
I had a message from someone at the start of it all saying, I was thinking about kind of leaving my husband before, but then obviously the pandemic's, and now I'd kind of made my mind up that I was going to go, and now we're stuck together like indefinitely. And I was just like, fuck that. I'm so glad I'm on my own and I'm not in a relationship that I don't want to be in, because I think I'd rather struggle with dealing with it on my own than have to deal with being unhappy and with someone that annoyed the shit out of me, or you know, and obviously all the people with the domestic violence shit. And it's like, I did count myself lucky that I wasn't in that kind of situation. But
definitely. I didn't struggle with it at all, but had I been with somebody, I reckon that I would have struggled. You know what I mean? If I was in a relationship with someone, I think it would have been a struggle. But for me, it was
How many children do you have?
I've got 2. So one's 13 and one's 10.
Oh, wow. You don't look old enough.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting for someone to say that.
Yeah. Well, it is easier when they're older, isn't it, anyway? Because you can kind of get on with it a bit more. So how did you both end up working in a sex shop? Is it something that you always wanted to do?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The dream come true.
No, I was working in a clothing shop and this like job come up around the corner and I fucking hated where I worked and I just wanted to get out of there, so just took the job.
Yeah,
just went in there and took the job. Yeah, so
yeah,
that's why I did
I had sort of recently come back from a little jaunt in Ayanapa where I was working in a metal bar, and I found myself like back home miserable, jobless, and I thought I've got to do something. And I actually worked very briefly in another sex shop, but
yeah,
it was a little bit too real for me. But like the people that we talk about in the podcast are, some of them are funny, some of them are dangerous, but generally, you know, they're just a strange group of people that frequent the place. But in this other place, it was like sinister. And I just thought, I don't think this is really for me at all. And then there just happened to be like a position open up in this other sex shop that was more mainstream. And I just thought, I'll just go there. And I literally went back every day and said, have you decided who's got the job yet? Until they said, will you stop asking? And that was that. And that was in a different place. That was in a different town. So that was in Chelmsford.
Okay.
And then when my nan was on her way out, I transferred over to the South End store.
Yeah.
So it worked out. It worked out pretty well for us. So we.
So how long did you work there for together?
15 years.
Yeah.
How long?
15 years.
15 years. Yeah. Oh wow.
Wow. The whole adult life.
Yeah, I think that's what brings us even closer, because like every sort of like monumental thing that that has happened to us in those 15 years is like we've shared it all. So we've seen all the ups, the downs, the hard things, you know, we've been rich, we've been poor, we've been happy, we've been unhappy, we've had children.
When were we fucking rich? I don't remember that happening.
I was secretly rich. I just didn't want to tell anyone. Look, we've been happiness rich since the day we met.
Oh. Wow, so did you have people that came in, like, for the whole 15 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, what stuff did you sell there? like, because you said it wasn't too, obviously, you know.
Yeah, well, it's literally like the usual. So anything from like lingerie to giant dicks. you know, that, we've seen that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
do you sell films, or has that kind of stopped since the internet? Or do people still buy?
Oh, yeah. That stopped, yeah.
That stopped,
as soon as like people realise that you don't have to pay for porn anymore.
Yeah.
Media just completely just went. When I first started, we even sold magazines. Do you remember porn magazines?
Don't they exist anymore? What's that? Of course they don't.
I don't know if they exist. I haven't seen them, but we stopped selling them years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
We went out to have a little look recently. So we were like perusing in a supermarket and thought we'll just have a look at like what's out there.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, you're not going to find like your regular jazz bag in Tesco's, but there wasn't even like lads mags that have like, lads mags have gone out of fashion, like it's not cool anymore. So yeah, I mean it's really weird that there's nothing like that. But I suppose you save yourself the absolute embarrassment of just being like buying like Big Jug Monthly when you can just like type it in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah. Did that have a massive impact on the store? Because you must have made lost quite a lot of money, no?
Not really, no, because shortly after that all started to go, 50 Shades of Grey came out, and then suddenly bondage just went through the absolute roof, and all anybody wanted were like those fucking jiggle ball things and like leg spreaders and like whips and just all of that type of thing, and we made so much money on that.
Wow. So tell me about some of your regulars then. Have you got any that, like, I'm assuming not everyone was weird.
Why would you assume that?
You must have had some nice people.
We did actually. We had this like old Jewish woman that's been coming in from the beginning. Her name's Diana. And she's lovely. She'll just come in for a chat. She never really bought anything. She just kind of like had a little look at like the nicer underwear. But she always came in for a little chat, and she'd bring us chocolates at Christmas. So we did have some nice people actually. We don't talk about it that much on the podcast, but there's loads of like really nice people that we met through the shop as well.
Yeah, it doesn't make for great listening when we're like, oh, they were really nice to us and just elementary and sweet.
Did you get many people who were horrible, like aggressive towards you?
Yeah, there's been a few. Yeah, they stick in your mind, like the violent episodes that we've had. That's more frightening. Like all the other stuff you can deal with, but I have had a few like violent situations where I've had to like press the, we've got like an alert button.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
Why were they so angry? Is it just because they're really angry and they're taking it out on you?
Yeah, it's normally, they're normally like high on something. So they're coming and they're all erratic anyway. Yeah. And they're just like slapped. I had this one guy that wanted a refund on something and he didn't have his receipt, and I was just like, I remember serving him, so I'll give him his refund.
Yeah,
but it was on a Sunday morning, first thing. We didn't have any cash in the till, and he paid cash and he wanted a cash refund, and I'm like, it was taking longer than what he was expecting, and he just lost his shit. He absolutely lost his shit. He was like punching the till, he was like throwing like bras around the shop, but he was just like, I want it now. And I was with one other girl who just started, and she was 18. And I thought, I can't leave her out here because I had to go to the safe to get some cash.
Yeah.
And I couldn't leave her. So I had to get her to go into the safe and get cash out, which is like something that a manager shouldn't be doing to someone that's just started. But I just thought, I can't leave her out here with this guy.
Yeah.
So he left. Because I just wanted him to leave.
Yeah,
and I thought, if I call the police now, then he's going to lose it.
Yeah,
He had already lost it. But, so I waited for him to leave, and I was just like, please, just in case you went into another shop or something.
Yeah.
That was quite frightening, actually. Yeah.
Did you have any funny regulars?
Yeah, most of them are funny, I think. but funny in, like, they don't necessarily do anything that's funny, but some people, you know, they just have, like, a really funny sort of, like, way about them. And,
yeah,
like, people just make you laugh by just doing nothing. And there was this, like, one particular guy, and I remember him with such a fondness because he was such a character. He's known as the dildo girl in box guy. Okay. So he was a barrister and he had just come from court, and he sort of, like, strolled into the shop, and he's like, he's happy as anything. Like you know when people, like, are infectiously happy?
Yeah.
And so straight away he's like, "Morning, ladies." And you're like, "Yeah, this is good. We're having a nice time."
Yeah.
And then he told us about this, like, elaborate plan to surprise the mother of a bride who was marrying a friend of his. So he didn't know the mother of the bride. He didn't really know the bride. But he did know the groom. And he was like, "I've had an idea. So we're invested already, because as soon as you've got our idea, we want to know." And he's like, "What I'm going to do is, on the day of the wedding, I am going to put an inflatable woman in a box with a strap on it, and then send it to the door. And then when the mother of the bride opens the box, the doll will inflate, revealing this blow-up doll with a huge strap-on on it." We're like,
oh my god.
That's not a really good point.
What was his aim? Why did he think this? Why did he want to do this?
That he had he'd been in court that day, and he was then going back to work to defend people. Can you imagine having that man on your defence? Like, you'd be like, "Oh no, this ain't going to work."
Oh, did you sell it to him?
Did we sell it? What, the? Yeah. The
So he bought it. Yeah. So as far as you know, this actually happened?
Well, he ripped down the words "dildo girl in box" on a little slip of paper, which we kept, and said, like, "Look out for this on YouTube." And we have since looked, but unfortunately, no girl in box, I know.
Wow. Could you imagine if he actually did go through with it? Like, I wonder if anyone ever spoke to him again. Could you imagine being that groom?
I mean, he was
there. And it was your mate.
Wasn't he?
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You just don't know what goes through people's heads.
Well, we do, sadly. That's the trauma.
Do they like telling you what they want?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's like opening a can of worms. Like, sometimes people be like, "Oh, no, I don't need any help." And then the moment you're like, "Oh, that's a good one," or something like that, that's it. The can of worms is open, and it just comes flooding out, all of this just stuff about their lives and their sex lives and their partner and their ex-partner, and it's like, "Oh god, I'm so glad I asked you if you was all right."
You must be kind of a bit like counsellors as well, I guess. Working in that job, it's stuff that people don't really talk about, is it? So if they find someone that they can actually talk to, they must just go for it.
It is like that. It's floodgate, definitely. Yeah.
God,
well, people don't realise, like, you don't think about it that often, but not a lot of people have other people that they can go, "Oh, I tried something really fucking weird last night," or "I've seen something that I'm going to give a go." But because we're in that environment, people feel like they can just say anything.
Yeah.
And they do just say anything.
God. Were you ever shocked? Or did you kind of hear a lot of the same stuff?
Well, you'd get the occasional person that would come in that would say something, and you'd be like, "Jesus Christ, I thought I'd heard everything." it was very rare, but we had someone come in once that asked us for HUFU.
I don't know what that is.
No, well, we didn't, but we were like, no, we don't sell it, pretending that we know what it was. So once they left, we Googled it, and it's a human meat substitute. So it's like some sort of like jerky type thing that's supposed to taste like human flesh.
Yeah. And he'd been sent down by his girlfriend to buy it. And we were like, oh my fucking God, get out of there. You're going to be eating. What if he can't find the flesh substitute?
She's going to eat him.
Oh my God. That's really fucked up.
I know. Yeah. And this was like 9:30 Monday morning, and you're like, let me have a coffee first.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh, that's why I feel sick. Did you get the clientele? Why was it more male or female? Or was it a complete like mixture?
It was more female, I'd say, but we did get quite a few men, actually. I think more than what people expect. I would say it's about 70-30 for women. Okay. So it's a lot more men than what people, like a man will come in and think that he's the only man that has ever walked into a sex shop. So he's all like, oh God, yeah, but it's weird for you guys that I'm in here. And it's like, no, you're like the 20th man to walk through the door today. Shut up, you're not special.
And they were the worst. And they were like going, like trying to embarrass you, like with these like meek little women who have never been confronted by a man saying the word vagina. And you're like, oh, God, 5 pounds.
Did you get asked out a lot?
Yeah.
I've never been asked out.
You must have been.
Never been asked out in shop, never.
Have you not? No. Well, I mean, you are notorious for seeing someone hot and freezing and then can't say anything. So, I mean, that is...
Yeah, I'm terrible. If I see someone even that I fancy, I'll just collapse to the floor and hide. And then anyone else, I just look at them like they're an absolute piece of shit. If they talk to me, I've got this face of don't... fucking talk to me about anything other than dildos, because I'm not interested.
Yeah. And I've got a face of someone who anyone feels comfortable asking out. Like, I wouldn't mind. I mean, a lot of them would say, oh, do you want to go on a date, or here's my number, or whatever. But I've never been asked for so many reasons in my life. Like, it was literally on the daily that people were like, oh, thanks for all your help. By the way, we're staying in a hotel on the seafront. So when you finish work, do you want to... I don't want to go home. I don't want to see any more penises today. Thank you. I've cleaned up enough semen for one Saturday. Thank you.
Oh, my God. So what about when you date, how do people react to your job? Do a lot of men find it exciting?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's quite a good test, actually, when you tell someone to see how they react. But I've had all sorts of different reactions. Like, some people are just like, oh, okay, oh, that's quite cool. And then they'll say, oh, I bet you know some funny stories. That's the usual that you get from people. But you do get the ones that just get overexcited. Like they're going out with some sort of sex addict. So they're like, oh my God, what, you work in a sex shop? Oh, fucking brilliant. Oh, have you ever done anal? Oh, have you ever fucking shoved a dildo up your ass? And they just, it's just all of that kind of type questions. You just think, goodbye.
Yeah.
So it's quite a good little...
And we're like the most vanilla people in the world. So they just think they're going out with some like absolute kinkster, and we're like, look, you've got 10 minutes. That's it. Then don't talk to me after that. But yeah, they behave really strangely. And like very recently, and before I was banned from Tinder.
You've been banned from Tinder?
Yeah, for life as well. Why? No appeal. Sending unsolicited vagina pics to men that were just looking for love.
Um,
because I told people that I had a podcast and I'm a woman who was talking about a podcast that happened to be about a sex shop. And I mean, there are men on there whose profile pictures of like them holding their arsehole open.
Yeah.
Like, and then the minute a woman is like, sex shop,
yeah,
get her out of here.
Can't but do you that. Think that's because they thought you were advertising?
Well, I just put it in my bio.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there's worse things going on Tinder.
Oh God, yeah.
Saying I've got a podcast, why don't you have a look?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I feel like I was unfairly removed from Tinder.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Tinder's a bit shit though.
Well, I mean, it's done me a favour, really.
Yeah.
But still, I just think like, come on, Tinder, have a word. But there was a guy recently that I was like, oh, he looks all right. And then as soon as he heard hears the word sex shop, he's like, oh, I bet you've got this. I bet you've got all the toys, haven't you? I bet you've got loads of this underwear. I bet you love sex. I bet you're into this. I bet you're into that. And I was like, what do you do? And he was like, oh, I'm a boiler engineer. And I was like, oh, I bet you fucking wank over boilers, don't you? You filthy fucking prick. But you get home and stick your dick in a fucking valve. Like, bet you like that, don't you? You just think, what? And then he was so incensed by me going, I bet you have sex with combi boilers 24/7, that he then was like, if you're gonna be like that, just leave it. You just think, no, you just leave it.
Oh my God, but in my experience of the whole fucking online dating thing, boys just want to talk dirty to you. They want to send you pictures of their dicks or you to send pictures to them, and they just want to say filthy things to you. And that's pretty much all it is like free sex line chat.
Yeah, yeah.
So but I'd imagine once they find out what you do.
For that.
I know. And that's what I'm, like with the whole photos thing, I'm like, you can go online and look at as many fucking pictures as you want. Why do you want me to send you?
Of anyone. Like,
what do you think I lay around my house all day in sexy lingerie? Like, I'm serious, I'm in my pyjamas most of the time and they're not sexy pyjamas. or am I going to go and get changed? Like, it's just the whole, infuriating.
Yeah. I know, it's annoying, isn't it? It's like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just about to jump in the shower. Send me a picture. Do you know how much effort it takes to, like, set up, like, rig your phone so that it doesn't fall over every time? And, like, you know, get the best light in. It's fucking hassle. It's not like that, you get, what I do is I build a catalogue of every time that I looked hot naked, and then I just go, no, that one.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you get. You get one from the back catalogue.
I've had before. I've already seen that one.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You have to remember who you sent it to.
So I'll be grateful you fucking get anything.
Yeah, shut up.
Have you found it disheartening seeing the inside of people's souls?
You were going to say our souls.
And that. Has it made you, are you both still single now or are you in relationships?
We're both single still. It's a better life, I'm not gonna lie.
I completely agree.
I can't give up what I've worked for. I don't know, like I just think they're all fucking shit. Like I can't, like just basic stuff that they just want like praise for, like, oh, I've washed up, and you think, fucking well done, you cleaned up after yourself. I can't bear that. I'd be a terrible girlfriend to somebody because I just can't look. I'm not looking after a man ever again in my whole fucking life. I will never wash another man's underpants ever again as long as I fucking live. And they all just want to be mothered, don't they? And I just can't do it. Just can't do it.
I know there are good ones out there, but I've
do you know any? Have you got a list?
Where
I've
are they?
Got the names.
I have friends, male friends, who I think, well, I don't know what they're like as boyfriends, but they are good people. But I've never been in a relationship, I don't think, with one.
Yeah. Right, don't talk about a list you don't have.
Yeah, right? No, I haven't got
that. We've all got boy mates that we think are great, but you know, like my boy mates, I don't wish them on their own girlfriends, so I would never take one on because I know. But like, that is also what I like about them, and I like that they are very uncomplicated characters who are a bit of a dick. But that's what I like. That's what I look for in a friend, and that's why Charlie and I get on so well.
So do you still, but so are you not looking at all, are you dating at all? Well, when no one is at the moment, are they, but are you kind of, because what about sex, do you miss sex, or are you still getting, are you just hooking up?
I go on one date a year,
yep,
just to get people off my back about how there are nice ones out there. So I'll go and have a look, go on a date with one that's a piece of shit and be like, done for the year.
Yeah.
I don't miss sex that much now. Like, the longer it goes on without having sex, the easier it's getting. And I just don't want someone touching my body ever again that doesn't respect me. That's my bottom line of it. So I just think, you will fucking respect and worship this amazing human being, or you do not touch me.
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult for me. When I've got that mentality.
I've never been into porn, like that's never been my thing, but it's been brought to my attention more recently. But I have a real issue with it, because I feel like it's, everyone's really angry at the girl. That's how I feel, like it doesn't, anything that I've seen, I'm just like, I don't think she's enjoying that. And it's like they're all trying to punish her for something that I don't know if she's done. Do you, like, I just don't really feel like, and my experience in hooking up with guys, I think a lot of the time I feel like they're trying to punish me for something that I haven't done, and I'm like, I'm not really down with this. Like, this isn't a nice, I don't know, I just, I yeah, do men just hate all women? I don't know, it's very, it's very weird.
No, I know, I totally know what you mean. It's never like, it always seems like it's non-consensual, even though you're seeing something that people are in a controlled environment where they will have consented to to filming and, you know, undergone all the tests and what have you. But it does always feel very forced, and it never looks like the woman is having a good time. But I don't know whether that's, we know as women when we're having a good time, when we're not having a good time, and we know for a fact that these women are faking it.
Yeah.
Having a good time doesn't look like that. So,
it's just. A close friend of mine, actually, and I want her to come onto the podcast, but I don't know if she's going to talk about what I wanted to talk about. But she used to work in the porn industry. She used to work, one of her friends had a company, this is in Amsterdam, and they were a distributor, but like the biggest distributor in Europe. So she was kind of like in the office side. She wasn't involved in like the filming or starring in it, but she's seen a very dark, you know, world, and I would love to have her to come on and talk about it, but I do think it's not like a nice loving, you know, but horrible. It's like people, I suppose people don't want to see that, but then that's a bit fucked up then, isn't it? Because it shouldn't it be a nice experience for everyone involved?
I've seen a live sex show in Amsterdam, and I just thought, oh, let's look at it for the lulz kind of thing. And like, you know, you go to Amsterdam, you've got to do that. And I went in and had this like curtain around me, and it just chilled me to the bone. I was just like, this is fucking horrible.
this is actually horrible. I cannot believe that men stand in these booths wanking over this, is over this, like a girl that's just, I don't know, it's so weird, isn't it? It does always look like they're being forced to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's not a thing, they're not doing it for their own pleasure, they're doing it for the pleasure of a man.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what it money. Is. Yeah, yeah, it always looks like they're not getting anything out of it, but all the men are. And is there for their benefit, not the other way around. But is there is there porn that exists that's more for the women, or is it all, I mean, I haven't researched that much, so I don't know. I might be talking complete bollocks. But I don't know.
We used to sell DVD by a woman director who made porn for women. And it was like a woman-owned company. It was Anna Spann. And it was supposed to be from like the point of view of like the woman having a nicer time, I suppose. But having watched that, it's not like you get now. Like it was very soft and very like, I don't know, like everything you sort of see on like the free porn sites is just a world apart from the DVDs of like way back.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether there must be still people doing that sort of thing for, you know, from a woman's point of view type situation. Yeah. But whether it gets searched that much, I don't know. I mean, aren't going on that porn where women are actually enjoying themselves. So I don't think that it's probably as popular.
When you sold the DVDs, did women buy them, or was it more men bought them, or had they kind of gone out before you could really observe that?
I think women did buy them. You'd get the occasional man that would come in. Well, we had one actually, a guy, I think it was on one of our more recent podcasts that we did, and we had this guy that came in who was part of like a special needs group, and so he probably didn't have access to the internet.
Yeah.
So he wanted this porno that, and he bought it, and then the next day he bought it back and wanted a refund on it. Right, it was called Make Love to My Ass, and he said that it was too crude. So, you know, you do get men out there that don't like this new, like, violent porn, like craze that's going around.
If it's called Make Love to My Ass, then I suppose that does kind of give
it might be quite nice.
But
I gave them the refund. It was a fair enough comment.
Oh, you did.
It's called Make Love to My Ass. If it was called Fuck My Ass,
yeah,
that's going to be crude. If it's called Make Love to My Ass, you're expecting a little bit of romance involved. And I'm guessing there wasn't. Otherwise, he wouldn't have bought it back.
He wanted them to be wined and dined first. Yeah. Where was the dinner scene? They didn't even go for dinner.
So in your podcast, after you talk about the funny stories that you've experienced within, like, with different clients and everything, how many episodes are you going to do? Are you going to keep going forever? Because you must have seen so many things.
Well, we're recording season 3 at the moment. So at the moment we're releasing season 2, and we're recording season 3. And we're keeping it as like a 6 episodes per season. And I think we've got season 4 planned.
Yeah.
As well. And then we're thinking of having guests.
Oh, that'd
like
be good.
A bit like what your kind of thing. Because we have had a few people that have said, can I come on your podcast? And it's it's not really like that. But it's a good way to go, because we will eventually run out of the good stories.
But that'd be
especially like people, especially people that have worked with us as well, we've had some real characters work with us who obviously have been through the same thing,
yeah,
but they have different perspectives, So, I mean, they'd be great. There's like one woman called Monica, and she's like fabulous. Honestly, she's such an amazing woman. She's an older woman.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, her real life stories are more insane than her shop stories.
Did you have quite a high turnover of staff?
No, actually. We obviously have people come and go over the years, but our my last group of staff that have just been made redundant, we had them for years.
Wow.
They've been with us for years, yeah.
Oh, people don't leave.
Yeah.
No. It's
that
a good
surprise me, actually.
Yeah, it was a good, nice such a laugh. Place. Yeah, it's a laugh. You know, we like chill, we let people have cups of teas on the shop floor. There's no like, you can have a chat if there's no customers there. I wasn't like one of those like bosses that are just controlling and like don't speak to each other. Do you know what I mean? Like a quite fair, like just nice. It was just a nice place, weirdly, to escape to.
Was it a big shop?
Your home life. No, it wasn't. It wasn't massive, no.
What's it going to be? Do you know?
It's just empty at the moment.
Home cake shop.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. It's been really tragic walking past it.
Yeah.
Because it's just been ripped out. It's just completely empty. And I don't know. I think the guy that owns the building, he wanted to convert it into like residential properties.
Right.
So who knows?
Would you consider starting your own one? Or are you not really into that?
I've thought about it, but I just don't enjoy it. Really.
Yeah. And the like high street is dead.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. But then I suppose it is, but it must be nice to have somewhere to go to look at that kind of stuff, I guess. Rather than just ordering online. But I suppose it's whether that's enough to keep a shop open. Do you know what I mean? If you're getting enough people that want to do that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think it's got to be like, the reason why it worked was the personal touch. So you would come in for that connection with someone who would listen to what's going on in your life or understand what it feels like to do this or, you know, like, just having that human connection, which people don't get when they buy sex toys online.
Yeah.
But I do understand entirely that it is, you know, it's so much easier and less embarrassing for people to just click a button and it gets delivered to your house.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is that rapport that we had with our customers that generated the sales.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it's a place for that sort of thing anymore, because you can get sex toys in the pound shop now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, crazy. Well, there was this like huge craze where the pound shop bought in like these little bullet things that were like similar to what we've been selling for ages. And because they're a quid, they literally sold out across the nation. Like people went absolutely mad for them because they were a quid.
Yeah. What do they do?
Oh, it's just a clitoral simulator.
Oh, okay.
And like a little purse size one.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you put it in your purse, but like, so it's just like a little discreet sort of sex
toy. For a pound,
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about a book? Have you considered writing a book?
Well, we've toyed with the idea over a few years. Maybe we should write it down before podcasts were a thing.
Yeah,
like, shall we write little memoirs? But I think the direction that, well, I know personally I would like it going is something for TV, because the characters that we talk about, although after a description you can sort of picture like a funny little man or whatever, unless you visually see someone looking and behaving the way some of these people do, you know, you can't get a grasp on the strangeness of the whole situation. And so, I mean, Netflix, if you're listening,
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Give us a little show.
Ricky Gervais, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Sitcom.
I doubt.
Yeah.
He's a regular, yeah.
Yeah. And any talented writers as well. Like, anyone who knows anything about writing a TV programme, please.
You could probably do it yourself. I mean, I haven't got a clue about stuff like that, but I'd just go for it. Do you know anyone that films?
Well, I do, actually. Yeah, I do actually know a videographer.
Make a pilot. If you make a pilot, then you've got something to send. And it doesn't really matter how it looks, does it? Because they'll obviously be able to they just want the idea of it.
Yeah, that'd be so exciting. Pitch something. I know. Yeah. I'd love it. So that's what I want, really.
Yeah.
Great idea.
And just to end, I should have said this to you before, really, but is there any, what's your favourite story, like, out of all the amazing stories you've had? Have you got anyone that's close to your heart? For whatever reason. Or are there too many to choose from?
My favourite is probably... I think it's the first episode of the first season of the guy who shit in the changing room. Not because I love shit, but it was such a weird chain of events that you would have to have been there. Like, people say to us all the time, that isn't real. And we're like, you can't make this stuff up. So the first time I saw this particular chap, he had ketchup completely covering his face, and I'd never seen him before. So, I mean, that was weird in itself, but the weirdness was, I was like, oh, he's not around here because I haven't seen him, and like, we see everyone.
Yeah.
And then my second thought was, he's got ketchup literally fucking all over his head. And then he went away, and I didn't think any more of it, at all. And then, literally a few days later, he's come into the store wearing a tracksuit, asked to try on this really Lady Gaga-esque wet look bodysuit with a puff sleeve. It was a bold statement. I mean, for this gentleman, he tried that on, and then he asked to try on a bra as well, which is not like a weird occurrence.
Yeah,
very normal. But when he left in like a floor length gypsy skirt instead of his tracksuit bottoms. So we were like, "What the fuck?" I'm sure he wasn't wearing that. You know, when you have to like double guess, you're like,
"Yeah, yeah."
I'm sure he was. I would have noticed the skirt. And he'd left his tracksuit bottoms in the changing room, and in it was an adult nappy filled with shit.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It was fucking insane. I've cleaned some things out of the changing rooms. I mean, we clear out vomit, cum, fucking shit. Like, we clear up bodily fluids on the regs.
Yeah.
But this was particularly offensive.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's the short version of that.
Did he come back after?
He didn't come back. He actually went to a Marks and Spencer's and did something extremely lovely to them as well.
So that's obviously just his thing then.
It's just his thing. It's just this thing, yeah.
God.
And then just when you think you'll never see him again, I actually saw him in A&E when I had gone with my boyfriend at the time, who'd been hiccuping for 2 weeks, to go and like get this issue sorted out. I'm a face mask. And then I could hear like this noise, like a sort of noise. And then this guy, the shitty nappy guy, just sort of like flies down the corridor with like a hospital regulation blanket tied around him like a cape, And I was like, that fucking bitch.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my face.
What's yours, though? Oh, mine's got to be the old gent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. I love it because it's so cute to start with and it just takes a fucking nasty turn.
Yeah.
So this lovely, like, old gentleman who was about in his 80s but dressed, like, sharp as a knife. Like, he had a suit on, this three-piece suit, a hat, a little bow tie. Nice little shoe.
So cute.
He was so lovely, and he'd come in and be like, "Oh, if I was 20 years younger, ladies, and stuff like that." And just think, mate, you've got to be at least 50 years younger. Yeah,
yeah. And that he'd always bring us like little sweeties and things like that. Like, get like a little, you know, old like sweet tin out of his pocket and be like, "There you go, darling." And you just like would be like, "Put you down."
Little Werther's original.
Yeah.
Out of his pocket and and it. And this, and he bought a cock ring, right? Which was cute. I was like, oh, look at him wanting to impress the ladies at his age.
In his retirement complex. Yeah.
And then the next day he came back in and I was like, oh, hi, how you doing? Like, lovely to see you again. And he was like, oh, that thing I bought, it doesn't work. And I was like, oh, no, I'm really sorry about that. Have you got it with you? And he's like, yeah. So he pulls out this handkerchief, which I'm like, oh, he's wrapped it in a little hanky, like this, like, cotton hanky. So he starts, like, unfolding it. And then I held my hand out, and he drops it into my hat. And and as he's dropped it in my hand, I've realised that it wasn't the cock ring that I'd sold him. It was some, like, I mean, it looked as old as him, this thing. It was mank. It was a piece of, like, plastic that was just broken and, like, had, like, black, like, fluff all over it. And,
crust.
Like, I'd crust. It was just horrible, the state of this cock ring that he dropped into my hand. But obviously it was too late because it was in my hand. So I just stood there and I was just like, this isn't the one that I sold you. And he's like, oh, isn't it? Oh, I thought it was. Are you sure? And I'm like, well, yeah, because this isn't a brand new cock ring, is it? And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry about that, dear. And then takes it out of my hand, wraps it back up in the hanky. And I'm standing there for like probably another 10 minutes after he left with my hand. Just thinking, fucking hell, what has just happened today?
Yeah. Old man, like, semen just crusted on your hand.
God. I know. And I just wanted to dip my hand in like a vat of acid to get the like disease off of it because I felt tainted. I couldn't wash my hands enough. It still feels dirty now to this day. And that was about 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. Well done for surviving your seriously. Thank you so much for coming on to talk to me. I have listened to a few episodes of your podcast and it is absolutely hilarious. So I would recommend everyone to check it out. And I very much look forward to the new series. How often are you releasing them? So when will season 3 come out?
I think season 3 we're planning on coming out in like June maybe.
Yeah.
So we've got so on Thursday is the last episode of season 2.
Okay.
And then we're going to give it a couple of months so we can catch up on what we're recording and keep people on the tenterhooks.
Yes.
Keeping the hooks on, reeling in.
Yeah. We do like to do things on our socials. So sometimes we'll do like a live like Q&A, and you know, we love it when people drop us messages about dating and sex stories, so we heavily encourage that.
Yeah,
if you want to follow us or drop us a DM at 2girls1shopcast, and we're on Twitter as well under the same name. So yeah, we love it.
Brilliant. Well, I'll share everything and tag you and everything so people can find you. When we wanted to start the podcast. So I used to do it with another girl, but we were going to be called Two Girls, One Chat. Oh, well, that was one of the names that, yeah, we'd, but then Pitt, who helps me with the podcast, was like, no, you've got to call it Mum and Mama. He'd had it in his head for years that he wanted someone to do a podcast called Mum, like a parent to, my mum to do a podcast called Mum and Mama. So I was like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. It is a good
name. I'll take that.
I mean, we've toyed with like quite a few. What did Stu was like? I mean, he was coming out with some of the worst ideas I've probably ever heard. And I say this to him all the time. He'll send me something, and I'm like, no, no, thank you. But then we came round to the Two Girls or One That Shop, didn't we?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it suits us. But Stu does say Two Girls, One Cup, like, weirdly too often.
Yeah, I bet he does. Oh, but it's been lovely. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us. And for asking you. Us.
And hopefully one day I'll get to meet you in real life.
Oh, yeah, so when we're all allowed to get out. This.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. I can't wait.
All right.
Bye.
Hello.
Yeah. So if you go to any podcast platform and look for the Two Girls One Shot podcast, you can listen to their wonderful podcast where they have loads more funny stories. I highly recommend it. I hope you enjoyed that. If you want to talk to if you want to talk to me about anything that I discussed in the podcast, then please get in touch with me. I hope you're good. I'm good. And I will see you next week, where I'm going to do the Gail Porter. Sorry, I'm thinking of what else I need to tell you. Subscribe, share the podcast. Oh, yeah. And if you've got any questions for me and the Epic Life Coach, Nikki, then please get in touch. Questions about parenting, single parenting specifically, how to deal with ex-partners, and we will give you our worldly advice. Yeah, I hope you're good. Sun's out, bum's out. I hope you had a laugh at that, and take care, and I will see you next week.
Work.
Bye.
Work. Work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.